Amen. Well, I've not done this very many times over the years when I get to the Sunday of Labor Day weekend and preach about work and how we do our work. But I'm going to today, just so you'll know, working for God and really kind of at work or school. Those are those places that many of us will find our place to do that. Now, I have two college-age daughters. One of them gets the day off tomorrow. The other one has to go to school tomorrow. JD and I were visiting a little earlier when I went to Oklahoma Baptist University. And OBU's definition of Labor Day was, let's go to school and labor. That was their definition of Labor Day. Nowadays, you know, they're nice to the students. They get the day off tomorrow. But the one in Texas, she has to go tomorrow. So many of you will have the day off tomorrow, and for all of you who have the Monday off and you stay in town, thank you. You know, because lots of people go elsewhere. I noticed that even driving by other church buildings on the way to church, to our church building today. Others have gone someplace else, and that's great. People do that many times, and we hope they all return refreshed. But I'm glad that you're here today. Here's our opening question for us. How do you serve both your Lord and your job or your school well? How do you do both of those well? Well, you need to know this truth. Our devotion to our Lord guides our service to our work and our school. It all starts with our devotion to our Lord. So today, basically what we're going to do is a case study from the Scripture about how our devotion to our Lord guides our work and our school. And it's going to come to us from the life of Obadiah. Now, those of you who are well-versed in the Old Testament will know Obadiah is a minor prophet. We're not going to that one. And if you were here last Sunday, we looked at Elijah, a story about Elijah, and we encountered a guy in that story by the name of Obadiah. And we go to that story today. It's going to be in 1 Kings 18. In the Pew Bible, it's page 230 if you need that. Basically, Obadiah is the chief of staff to the king of Israel, to King Ahab. The Bible tells us something about King Ahab that's interesting. It says that King Ahab did more evil than all of his predecessors combined. He's a bad dude. Just to be real blunt, he is an evil man because his predecessors did a lot of bad stuff and he did more than all of them put together. So he is just a really bad dude. And Obadiah worked for him. He was his chief of staff, essentially. He was in charge of the palace. Basically, everybody there but the king had to answer to him. It's basically what happens. But Obadiah is a devout follower of God. So you have this devout follower of God serving the cruelest, most evil king that had existed up to that point. Wow. Isn't that an interesting place to go to work every day? So 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18, we'll begin with verse 1, and let me ask you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Now it happened after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go, show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the face of the earth. So Elijah went to show himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, who was over the household. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For when Jezebel destroyed the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water. Then Ahab said to Obadiah, go through the land to all the springs of water and to all the valleys. Perhaps we will find grass and keep the horses and mules alive and do not have to kill some of the cattle. So they divided the land between them to survey it. Ahab went one way by himself and Obadiah went another way by himself. Now as Obadiah was on the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he recognized him and fell on his face and said, is this you, Elijah, my master? He said to him, it is I. Go, say to yourself, to your master, behold, Elijah is here. He said, what sin have I committed that you are giving your servant into the hand of Ahab to put me to death? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent to search for you. And when they said, he is not here, he made the kingdom, Our nation sware that they could not find you. And now you are saying, go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. It will come about when I leave you that the Spirit of the Lord will carry you where I do not know. So when I come and tell Ahab and he cannot find you, he will kill me. Although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Has it not been told to my master what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? That I hid 100 prophets of the Lord by 50s in a cave and provided them with bread and water? And now you are saying, go say to your master, behold, Elijah is here. He will then kill me. Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely show myself to him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Now when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, is this you, you troubler of Israel? He said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals. This is the word of the Lord. And you may be seated. Thank you. When we encounter Obadiah, we see some great things about Obadiah that relate well to who we are and what we do in the work world and in the school world. All right, so all of you kids who sometimes think the pastor just talks to all the adults, realize I'm talking to you today because many of you are going to go to school. Some of you have already started, and some of you are going Tuesday, and you've got school, whether you're little. I saw a mom this morning, you know, got one going to kindergarten. Kid was bouncing off the wall. Mom's not quite there yet. Those kinds of things. Or whether you're a little older and going to school, all of those kinds of things. But as we see Obadiah, we encounter him that he fears the Lord. That he has this deep fear of the Lord. It means he loves God. He's devoted to God. He wants to serve God. He wants to live for the Lord. That there's this deep awe and reverence and respect from Obadiah to God. That he loves God. He cares about God. And there's a determination in his life to make his life count for God. You see that in the episode. Jezebel is trying to kill off the prophets of God. And he takes 100 of them and hides them. And then provides food and water. The catch is God's put him in a place to be able to do that because he's in charge of the palace. He has resources to do that. But he's got to be careful about how he does that because Jezebel roams around the palace and she's the queen and she's the one trying to kill everybody. So right under her nose, he's managed to take care of some of God's prophets. Pretty cool deal. But we see him this one who wants to live for the Lord. He wants to live his life so that it counts for God. A great example for us, that we would live our life, that our life would count for God, that our life would be lived in a way that we would serve God and we would fulfill what God's plan is for us in this day and time. The catch is, the only one that can answer that question for you is you and God. You know, and part of the struggle that we have, I think, many times in our culture today, is we think lives only count if they amount to something big where everybody knows who you are. You realize there's a whole lot more nameless people in the world than the people that we know their names. There are a lot more of us who are not famous than the people who are famous. You realize that? And some of those may already have their reward. But can we live our lives for the Lord, doing what God has planned for us to do so that our life counts for God? Because God puts us in our places. God gives us assignments. Sometimes God changes our assignments and gives us something different to do. But as we do that, we live for the Lord so that our life counts for God. So that we live in a gracious way to the Lord, doing what God wants to do with a heart open to what God wants us to do. That we just start there from the outset. And when we fear the Lord, we love God. When we serve God, we desire to serve Him and worship Him and live our life for Him. We start from the attitude that, yeah, yes, God, what is it you want me to do? You know, occasionally, Valerie will say Would you do me a favor? Well, my reply oftentimes is, I never have. Why should I start now? And she just smiles at me like, well, you knucklehead. Because she knows my intent is to do her a favor if I at all can. Because I committed to share my life with her, and I love her, and I want to help her and support her. Now, and so I start from that perspective of, I'm going to do something here. Yes, I will help you. Well, that's our approach to the Lord. If we fear the Lord and we're going to serve the Lord, is our approach to God is, yes. Yes. Now, what is it you want me to do? And you're like, oh, wait a minute, I'd rather know first. Doesn't always work that way. Just ask Isaiah. Isaiah said, I'll go. And then God told him what he's going to do. He didn't tell him beforehand because he might would have said, never mind, I don't want that assignment. Yes. Commit our lives fully to the Lord so that we can live for the Lord. But while we're doing it, act courageously. Act courageously. It helps if I push this stuff along so you, those of you taking notes, you can do that. Act courageously. Obadiah hid Yahweh's prophets. Man, that's a courageous thing. Remember, he's in charge of the palace and Jezebel is there. Jezebel is the queen, and she is trying to end God's people. And he's acting courageously. Now, you may not have to hide any prophets. Or as Corrie ten Boom did, you may not have to hide any Jews. Or you may not have to do some of those other things. But you may need to pray for a friend, a classmate, a coworker, a boss, an employee, a teacher, an administrator, a classmate. You may have to speak up for someone who's being bullied. You know, and people get bullied at school, but people get bullied in the workplace as well. You may have to stand against peer pressure. You may have to stand up against peer pressure and say, no, I'm not going to do that just because you do that. Or because supposedly everyone else is doing that. No, I'm not going to do that because my commitment to the Lord says I'm going to act this way. I'm going to do this and not this. So as we fear the Lord, we're going to serve God and we're going to act courageously. We fear the Lord, but we also want to do our work well. Obadiah had risen to a high office in his land. We don't know all of the details about the structure of who was in charge. We know there's King Ahab. We know there's Obadiah, who is essentially his chief of staff. Was there anybody between the two? There could have been, but maybe not. So, I mean, he's got a pretty powerful position. He has risen to a high office. We don't have all of his background. We don't know all of the story. But evidently he has demonstrated things with good skill. He has worked hard. He's probably been obedient to what the king wanted to do. But yet at the same time, we know it testifies to us. This is a man who's devoted to the Lord. He fears the Lord. And he's going to serve the Lord. And while he's doing that, he manages to keep working and moving his way up in the power structure of the kingdom so that he is the chief of staff to this very evil king. So we have to do those kinds of place to work well. If it's at school, it's obeying teachers. Right, teacher? It's obeying teacher. Obeying teachers and doing what teachers ask, doing what administrators ask. Doing those kinds of things, treating classmates correctly, those kinds of, at work, it's what does the boss want you to do? Even if you don't always agree with the way to do it or the best plan to do it, but that's what the boss wants to do. Maybe you argue your case politely and respectfully for a different way to do it, and the boss still says, nope, this is the way we're going to do it. Those kinds of things. Can you follow orders? Can you do those types of things? Are you doing your work well? Now, along the way, we become trusted. And that's very important. along the way, we can become trusted to do the right things. Whether at school, teachers and classmates are going to trust you because you're doing the right kinds of things. And so they believe in you. They have confidence in you. Whether it's your coworkers or your bosses have confidence in you that you're going to do the right things, that you're going to do your work well, you're going to give your best effort, all of those kinds of things. We see it happening with Obadiah. They're in the third year of this drought, and it's nasty at this point. It's gotten really bad. You know, 3 years of no rain and no dew in the morning. Wow, nothing. But the king has horses and mules. Horses and mules are important because they transport the king's family. They transport the military. They're used for other special occasions, and they need the horses and the mules to be well fed, and evidently at least some of the cattle, because they're trying to prevent killing off the cattle. Everybody would have eaten well, but that wouldn't bode well for the future. And so they've got this important assignment. They need water and some grass. Now, if you want to realize how important a task is, realize it is the king and his first in command who are out looking for the grass and the water. They did not send the guys who mucked the stalls in the barn where they kept the horses to go look for the grass. You would think that's what they would do. They'd send those guys who are used to being around the horses out. No, no. This is such an important task that the king goes himself, and Obadiah has gone with him. And he can trust Obadiah enough to go and look thoroughly in this land and do his work well, that he says, let's split up and go separate directions. It's important. Are you trustworthy at your work? Do you do your work well and people trust you for what you are doing? You also have to realize your allegiance is to the Lord, not your work or your school. First and foremost, your allegiance is to the Lord. Obadiah encounters Elijah. Elijah has gone to find Ahab because that's what God told him to do. Go show yourself to Ahab and I'm going to send rain. But he comes across Obadiah first. Well, Obadiah sees him. Obadiah is this powerful man. And Obadiah bows down to Elijah, the prophet of God. Now, I believe the reason he does that is because, and what we've already stated, first thing is that he fears the Lord. And with the fear of the Lord in him, this is God's representative. Elijah is God's representative, and he's not necessarily bowing to Elijah as though he is bowing to God, that he is humbling himself before God, that he's going to lay himself down before the Lord. And so that's what he is doing. He doesn't have to do that. I mean, he's this high-ranking official in the land. He doesn't have to bow down to a prophet who's basically been on the run for 3 years. I mean, been in hiding for 3 years. But out of his reverence for God, he shows great respect to Elijah. Out of our devotion to God, we should show great respect for those with whom we work and go to school. Out of our devotion to God, we should give respect to employers and bosses and teachers and administrators and all of those folks. We should do that well and treat everyone right and be respectful to those that we are around. First and foremost, we're there to serve the Lord and to fulfill God's purposes. That's why we're there. Doesn't matter where you go to work. Doesn't matter what your assignment, the place that God has sent you to go to work. And God's equipped you with medical skills or research skills or computer skills or teaching skills. It doesn't matter whether you're in kindergarten or first grade or eighth grade or 12th grader. As one friend held up his first day of 19th grade this week. I saw a picture, you know, somebody said 19. Well, he's in the master's program. He didn't fail that many times. He's in a master's program. So, you know, those kinds of things. Can you do that well? Will you give your devotion first and foremost to the Lord? You're there to serve God and to fulfill God's purposes in that place. And approach what you do, seeking knowledge, gaining understanding, and to be led by godly wisdom. Now, Obadiah faces a pretty delicate situation for him. Delicate, maybe we could use the word dangerous. Might be better. And I've read the encounter this morning for us. Elijah shows up. Obadiah sees him. Obadiah is very gracious and respectful to Elijah. And is there. And Elijah says, "Hey, it is me." You know, he asks this question, "Is it you, Elijah?" Well, he hadn't seen him for 3 years. And so Elijah says, "Yes, it's me. Now go and find Ahab and tell him that I'm here." Well, to that, Obadiah is a little concerned about that assignment. Because King Ahab has been looking for Elijah and he has not been found anywhere. Because Elijah, at the instruction of God, announced that because of the evil in the land, there would be a drought and there wouldn't, no rain and there wouldn't even be any dew on the ground. And then afterwards, the scripture tells us that God told him to go and get away from there. And he sent him and he hid him. And the ravens fed him for a while. And he had water from the brook until the brook dried up. And then he sent him to the widow woman. And the widow woman took care of him. And God took care of the widow woman. And those kinds of things. So he did that. But nobody could find him. And it says, look, we'd even go to other nations. And they would say, you're not there. And the king would make them swear that you're not there. I show up and say, hey, you're there. I found Elijah. But we're going to get back and the Spirit of God's going to send you who knows where. In other words, I think he's saying the Spirit of God will send you, but you might just run off. And then I've served God all of my life and I'm going to get killed for this? Uh-uh. I don't think so. Not real excited about that. But you've got to do some things with knowledge and with understanding and with wisdom. And he starts asking some questions. They're good questions. He starts explaining his case. He does it well. I think he's doing it respectfully. Asking about what's going on. What are you going to do? You want me to go and do this? Let me tell you the danger I've had. Let me tell you the good work I've done. And you're still going to send me to do this? And you might be gone. And he secures the promise from Elijah. Look, I'll show myself to Ahab today. You're not going to get killed over this. I'll show myself to Ahab today. But it says to us, we need to do some good things. We need to seek knowledge, understanding, and wisdom about how to act and what to do. Especially when we are in difficult situations. Occasionally, I realize some of you in the places where you work and with the bosses that you may have, or the assignments you may get at school, or a variety of things like that, or all of those kinds of things that can happen. It can be a delicate situation for you. Probably seldom dangerous, but it at least can be delicate, a little precarious. What's the best way to do this, and what's the best way to do that, and how do I handle those things? And so how do you do that? Ask good questions. Try to get good answers. Clarify what you're being asked to do. Because when you do all of that, you can do what's best for the Lord. You can give your best to the Lord. And that's what we want to be able to do. We want to offer our best to the Lord. No matter where you are, no matter where you're working, no matter what classroom you're in, can you offer your best to the Lord? And we need knowledge and understanding and wisdom many times to be able to do that. But, in the classroom, offering your best to the Lord is to be the best student you can be. To learn as much as you can, to be respectful to the teacher, kind and gracious to your classmates, and give the best you can give. As it was said in my house, as a kid growing up, if you're capable of making an A, you better make an A. If you're only capable of making a C, then that's fine. But give your best. Do the best you can. Because realize, you're working for the Lord. The Lord is the one who's given you skills and capabilities and levels of ability. Do the best you can to give that to the Lord. And offer the best you can for the Lord. And same is true at work. Are you giving the best you can give? Are you offering everything that you can? And along the way, sometimes some really good things happen. Obadiah had a difficult task. I mean, he's a servant of the Lord, but yet he's a servant of this horrible king. But God had put him in a place of responsibility. God had put him in a place to be able to do good for the Lord in that difficult place. If it had been somebody else and they found Elijah, they might have killed Elijah and told Ahab about it later. Instead, Obadiah bows down out of reverence for the Lord to the Lord's servant, and then works with him to figure out how they're going to go talk to King Ahab. So you got to do the best you can. I mean, look at Daniel. Daniel was doing the best he could, and Daniel, when they said, "Well, let's give you food like this," no. We think it would be better for us to eat a balanced diet and have good vegetables and all of that kind of stuff. And well, this guy says, "Well, no, then I'll get in trouble because you're not going to look like everybody else." He said, "No, you're right. We won't look like everybody else. We're going to look healthier than everybody else." And they tested it and it worked. And then from there, Daniel just kept rising and rising and rising in responsibility. He had responsibility. God had given it to him. Joseph was given incredible responsibilities. It was not always an easy path. Remember, he got thrown in jail, accused of attempted rape. All of those kinds of things, variety of stuff that goes on. But Joseph had responsibility. God can give you responsibility. God can open doors for you, friendships and fellowship and connections as you serve the Lord. And God can open the door for you. God did that in the early church. And the descriptive word in the New Testament for the early church was that God gave them favor with others around them. Maybe favor with that cranky neighbor. Maybe favor with the overbearing boss. Maybe favor with the demanding school teacher. And God can give you favor when you're offering your best to the Lord. Trust the Lord to use you in your service. Trust the Lord to use you. And my guess is some of you are thinking this morning, "I'm not sure the Lord can really use me. How can God use me?" Well, God can use every one of you. God's made all of us. God can use everybody. If we're willing to be yielded to the Lord and let the Lord use us, God can use all of us. But you can make a difference and you can make an impact. All of you kids that started school this past week, those of you who are starting this Tuesday, God can use you. If you're being the right kind of person God wants you to be, God can use you. Look for Obadiah as King trusted him. And God was able to use him. Back in the spring, when all of the unrest in the Ukraine began, in the turmoil inside of the Ukraine, because they had a president that wanted to align them with Russia instead of with the European Union, where most of the Ukrainians wanted to align themselves. And president was overthrown and thrown out of office. The interim president of Ukraine, you may not have known this, his name is Alexander Turchynov. Sorry, my Ukrainian pronunciation of names is not very good. Was a high-ranking politician in their system, and also a Baptist pastor. Served during that intermediate time until they elected a new president and put the new president in office. I believe God placed Alexander there to give wise and spirit-led guidance to a nation during a time of turmoil. And if you've paid attention to the news in the last several days, you know the turmoil in the Ukraine is far from over. So they continue to need people like that. And I trust God is continuing to use this Baptist pastor to give spirit-led godly wisdom to those people. As we serve the Lord the best you can for the time and the place that you are, and you're offering all you can to the Lord because you love God and you want to serve God and you want to fulfill what God has planned for you to do, God can move you along and work you along and bring you along. I read to you the story earlier today of Samuel's mother. Samuel was just a boy when he first heard God speaking to him. So all you boys and girls, listen. Just because you're young doesn't mean God can't speak to you. Samuel was just a boy. He thought it was the voice of Eli. And Eli realized, wait a minute, God's speaking. And told him to listen for God. To be ready to listen to God. So, children, youth, God speaks to you and God wants to speak to you. And God can use you, wants to use you. But you got to be willing to say, okay, God, I can do that. I can serve you. I can live my life for you. So it is for all of us adults. God wants to use us. Wherever you are, whatever that office is or place it is that you go to work, whatever lab table you sit at, whatever classroom you walk into, whatever sales call you got to make, whatever it is, God can use you in that place if you will approach it as you're there to be a servant of the Lord. First of all, you're devoted to the Lord. You're going to live your life for God. And in that place, just as we've seen with the life of Obadiah, realize that God can use you as well. What does your name mean? I ask that because Obadiah is this one who is a devoted follower of the Lord. His name actually means a servant of the Lord, worshiper of the Lord. That's what his name means. You know, we in this country don't get in a whole lot into what our given names mean. Some people do, but as a general rule, we don't get into that too much. But if you bear the name Christian, your name means something. It means that you're a follower of Christ. And as a follower of Christ, are you serving the Lord in your workplace or in your school? And you can do that. I challenge you to do that. To fear the Lord, to do your work well. That your allegiance is first and foremost to the Lord. To approach work and school, seeking knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And trust the Lord to bless you and to bless your service as you're faithful to Him. Our devotion to our Lord guides our service to our work and to our school. God wants to use you where you are. At home, in the classroom, at work. But He needs first and foremost for you to be devoted to Him. The whole story starts with Obadiah, that he feared the Lord. And they give us an example of how he feared the Lord and how he served the Lord. And it goes from there. It all starts with your devotion to the Lord. Is your devotion to the Lord today what it needs to be? Or at least you're already trying to move in that direction. But maybe today the Lord is saying, I need you to step up your devotion to me. Maybe the Lord is saying, hey, you know, tomorrow's the first day of a month. It's a day for you to begin a new practice. And you're gonna carve out 10, 15 minutes in the morning and spend some time alone with me before you go to work. Or before you go to school. Or on and on it could go. How's the Lord speaking to you today? Would you respond to the Lord?